Have you ever applied a skincare product to your body and wondered what kind of crazy chemicals are in it, and then read the ingredient list and realized you can't even pronounce half the ingredients? Your skin is the largest organ of your body, and what you put on it becomes part of you. In fact, if your skincare has chemicals you wouldn't eat, you probably ought not rub it all over your body. This is why in our house we use Tallow Skin Solutions Body Butter. It is made with all natural ingredients that are safe enough to eat and offer your skin the nutrients it can thrive on. The tallow is sourced from a family farm in Georgia, which practices sustainable regenerative agriculture. The body butter also has organic coconut oil, organic cocoa butter, and organic essential oils. The texture is silky and luxurious as it is whipped to the perfect consistency. Enjoy one of the five different scents. My personal favorite is creamsicle, which blends vanilla and orange and smells delicious. If you've never used a natural product like this, you are in for a treat. Go to tallowskinsolutions.com and enter code MINDFUL for 20% off. That's tallowskinsolutions.com and use code MINDFUL for 20% off your next order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. I'm Les Raymond. I'm your host today at the Mindful Movement Podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in for yet another episode. This episode is pretty neat because it's the first time I'm interviewing somebody that's really far away. He's going to be joining us from Portugal. The scene that he is joining us from is just is really captivating. The whole time during the conversation, I really had trouble not looking at the background behind him. His name is Michael Biker. He is a full-fledged yogi who's living out in Portugal, hosting retreats. He offers some just really accessible courses online, and that's how I was introduced to him. I took his breathwork course. It has been hugely impactful in my life. As you guys probably already know, I'm kind of into the breathwork thing. I do breath work. It's really the focal point of all my movement practices. It's my anchor, and everything else seems to be supplemental to that. It's where I feel like we get the most benefits from, and it's the most obtainable. Everybody has your breath tool kind of built into you, that you never have to go to a gym to get it or some certain area. It's just, we walk around with our lungs and all the muscles that operate it built in, and that's about as low hanging fruit as you could get. So there's never really an excuse not to tune in and to practice, and the benefits are limitless. So I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to explore his work, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Okay, welcome to the Mindful Movement Podcast. I'm your host, Les Raymond. Thanks for joining us today. We have a special guest today, someone who has really played a critical role in my own healing journey. In fact, just having him on here is really an honor for me to be able to express my gratitude for his contribution to my personal healing journey and my personal growth. And I really feel like when I was introduced to his work, that my own practices really turned a corner for the better. His name is Michael Biker. He's joining us from Portugal. If you're on the YouTube version of this recording, you get to see really a breathtaking view behind him. You're bound to be a little jealous when you see where this guy gets to meditate on a regular basis. Michael, please say hello to our audience and introduce yourself.
Hi, friends. Very nice that you're tuning in. Thank you, Les, for having me on your podcast. Very, very nice that you're listening. And I'm sure it's going to be a very inspiring talk we're going to have here together. And I hope you get inspired as well to to really take the time to take care of mind and body and to live a meaningful life for yourself and others. So yeah, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So at some point, I'd like to tell the audience how I came across your work and really how I've integrated your practices into my own lifestyle and how it's helped me. But first, I thought maybe you could take some time and fill the audience in kind of how you got to where you are. I understand from your bio that you had your own healing that you had to deal with yourself. And maybe you'd like to share that experience along the way and kind of just catch the audience up with a little bit of your past and how you got to where you are now, which is basically the man behind yogalap.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. So basically, I started my journey quite at a young age already. I was raised quite spiritually, more in a Christian way, which I think are still very many wonderful things in Christianity. But I took a little bit of a different path from that. But since I was about 14 or something, I started getting more and more into meditation and starting to see what impact it has, just how you experience your life on how your state of mind is. And that sounds very logical, of course, but I recognize, for instance, that if I was somewhere and if I would just make this a smile for 5 minutes, even if I wouldn't feel very good, I would start to feel better after 5 minutes, and I suddenly start to feel okay. So all these simple things, I started to recognize, like, hey, there is something you can work with within yourself on a deeper level. You can start to train your mind and your state of emotion in a certain way. And also, I recognize that by doing simple breathing techniques, just taking a couple of nice deep breaths, that would calm me down in certain situations, right? So then when I was about 18, I had a pretty big car accident, and I had several things pretty messed up in my body. Also my spine was, the disc was broken in two spots. I had a collapsed lung. My arm was paralyzed. My right arm was paralyzed for some time. Severe concussion and bruises, and was in the hospital for quite a while. And there I recognized also the power of positivity, even if not so nice things happen in your life, that it gives you something. So that, excuse my language, but the shit in life can be used as a fertilizer.
I love
so,
it.
I recognize, like, okay, I'm in this situation, but now I suddenly recognize how much you can be grateful for being alive, how much you can be grateful for being able to have a body that's functioning well, or all these things. So I started to recognize in the hospital also just the feeling of gratefulness that this happened to me. And that sounds really weird, of course, if you're all, how would you say that, all bandaged up and you're in a big mess. I just felt really much gratitude. And what the doctors and professionals, they said, well, you're probably not going to get out of this full 100% anymore. Your arm is going to be probably, your hand, your fine motor functions are probably going to be so good anymore. You're probably going to have this and that with your back, and because it was broken. And then I started to use the power of intention, and thank God I got out of that. It took several years, but 100%.
How long were you in the hospital after the accident?
This was 16 days.
Oh, man.
And after I had a long trial of getting better, seeing a lot of doctors and professionals, and to get me back on track again. It was for me also a very big push to start to get more into yoga and qigong and recognizing how I could on a deeper level also train the mind, feeling of gratitude and everything, how that would have such a great influence on my physical body as well. So it was all a wonderful present of this universe that this happened to me, because it pushed me in a beautiful direction. So I'm grateful.
Was there someone in your life like encouraging you or trying to like push yoga on you as a medicine, or is this something you just kind of stumbled in on your own?
To be honest, stumbled on it in the beginning on my own. I was starting to read books about it. I was starting to watch some videos about it. I had a friend who, when I was about 15, who just introduced me to yoga, because we did it as a warming up for before we would go for a surf. And it was just some simple sun salutations. But from there, I started to discover more about it. And it wasn't until I was about after that car accident that I started to learn more autonomously, more about it. And then I started going to India several times, and I had some wonderful teachers that taught me the in-depth practices a little bit more.
Oh, wow. So what did you, when you went there and experienced, I guess, their take on yoga practices, how would you explain like the differences from where, of how it was presented in your homeland compared to how it was presented in India?
Yeah, that's a huge difference, of course. It's almost two sides of the modern yoga that we know now. In the West, we are very obsessed with the physical, with the body, with physically being healthy and strong and looking good. And of course, in India, it's a lot more about on a deeper level spirituality. So I saw, whereas in the West, it's very much about the poses and the asanas and doing it exactly right and having all these alignments, which is wonderful, very important for sure. But in the West, not so much about the meditation part. It would be something you do after a yoga class, like 40 minutes of intensive movement or postures, and then just 5 minutes of relaxing, laying down, and that was it. Whereas in the in India, with most of the teachers I had, it was more or less the opposite. It was, postures doesn't really matter too much if you're doing them exactly correct, but it's just to open up the whole energy system, open up the breathing system to prepare yourself to do some breathing practice. And then the real kind of yoga happens, and that is deep meditation.
Yeah, it's almost like in my experience that you don't sit and like practice meditation. You sit and you connect with your breath, and over time meditation seems to happen. Like you allow space for meditation to almost arise. You can't chase it or grab after it. It's elusive. Like if you're working at it, if you just kind of relax and focus on the breath, if you're lucky, it just kind of takes place on its own. I noticed in the United States, I've gone through phases off and on for quite some time now of practicing yoga. And it's like when you read it in the books, it seems like so different than what I've always experienced in classes. And it's to various degrees, but when I go to a class, it always seems like there's this huge focus on like, as you said, the physical component. Like it is a fitness tool in the United States. I don't know how much of that is in Portugal, but there's clearly a fitness component. And in the books you hear, it's more of like the poses are more of allow you to be a conduit of some sort to practice the other spiritual aspects of yoga. Like let's say it's the yamas or the niyamas, like maybe nonviolence, like the postures are an opportunity to practice nonviolence, like not hurting yourself. That's what I always read in the books, but then when I go to a class, it seems different. And I've always wondered, like, what is it like in India? Like, is that where that stems from? Is that where they actually practice it in that way where, you know, yeah, the asanas are, they're important and the body positions, but it's really just a little step to, you know, go down the algorithm and prepare yourself for meditation practice.
Definitely. Definitely. And like you say, it's like, meditation is not an action. It's a state of mind. It's not like you are meditating. Like you said, it's meditation happens when that space is there, that space for consciousness or awareness to just be and not be doing something and trying to solve something or control anything. It's completely letting go. And then all of a sudden within that space, that sense of pure being can be there. And to create that space on a physical level, you have to open up and stretch up and strengthen. On a breathing level and on a mind level, you have to do it. And then the meditation is just that part of now letting go and letting be and letting life happen. And that part is, I think, in the West, is very much missing. And that's why you still have that, by the way, in India also a lot, that it's just about posture and in Ashtanga yoga. Every kind of yoga has its own quality, don't get me wrong, but it's very much about posture. And sometimes you see people in the class like forcing themselves into poses with a frown and not creating or taking a moment to let life be and letting go of control. Otherwise, you're just building up more ego, more desire to control, or look what I can do and look how flexible I am or how strong my body is, or and feeling that you're in control. It's that state of, you know what, I let go. I'm not in control of anything. I'm a part of this wonderful, great universe, which is part of me and I'm part of. And that state is something you try to, I think, at least develop in the whole totality of yoga practice.
That's great. So, and eventually, I guess it led you to start a company where you have... it is such a tremendous value. I mean, I love learning. And I think we're spoiled now with like the content that's out there and how easy we could access it. And I don't know how I stumbled upon one of your courses, but it was a breathwork course and it was so reasonably priced. I got to tell you, for the listeners out there, if you're looking for value, Mikhail's work is kind of, it's unheard of. I mean, the amount of value you get out at really an extremely affordable price to have a course where somebody's clearly put quite a lot of time in. And you could definitely sense through the course that there's a lot of your own practice. This is not something like, you know, you could tell you didn't just read up a book on breath work and then build it into an online course. You could tell there's years of practice into it, which I could really appreciate, and it really resonates through the work and your coaching techniques. I found just, it was very easy for me to connect with them. It was very inviting. I see that your courses have reached quite a amount of people. I think on your website, it said have over 20,000 online students, and I'm really glad to have been one of them. I purchased your course and I guess I just went through the videos, and for the listeners out there, the way it's structured is there's a lot of little short tutorials about a certain, let's say, breath practice. And then there'll be a video where there's a more traditional practice using those breath styles that were just essentially taught in little pieces in the prior videos, which is just a really great way to learn because you get a little bit of context and then you get to practice and then you build on that on the next one. And I found it really useful and I immediately like integrated it into my lifestyle. And I personally, Mikhail, I had a, you know, I've had exposure to breath work over the years, partly through the yoga classes I took. I think leading up into this, I was actually diving into like the Wim Hof method. And I assume you're familiar. Wim Hof is, made himself pretty popular throughout the world over the last few years through his breath practice. And it was intriguing because it was an introduction where I could find that there was a powerful way that we could kind of change our internal environment in our body through breath work. It was definitely an introduction to just the idea that, man, we could completely change our chemistry from in a few minutes, but it didn't feel very natural to me. It felt like a fairly aggressive style. And I thought like, we shouldn't have to do that to take a step forward. It didn't seem like, you know, in the larger scale of our species and how we've evolved, that's the method we would need to take. And then when I was introduced to your work, it seemed like you were accomplishing very similar things with a sense of like subtlety and nuance that seemed way more appropriate just to like my overall stress level. And it was like what I was learning through this other method with like brute force, you were doing with finesse. And it really spoke to me. It was very subtle. And I was like, oh, we could get these benefits with a much lower entry point, with something that just feels less risky, more safe, and way just more natural for my nervous system to like tinker with these different styles. And in your course, there were a lot of different styles. I mean, I was, I really liked it. And then you had this one video that became my favorite. In fact, I've downloaded it. I have the YouTube version where you could, you know, download the upgraded version or whatever. So it's one of my downloaded videos and it's this beginner practice where you go through like four different breath styles. And I hung on to that big time. Like that was my anchor for a long time. And this is in the middle of my own healing journey where a few years ago I got Lyme disease and really wreaked havoc on my life. And, you know, this was something for me to really anchor my daily routine on. And I was amazed how, no matter what state I was in, like a flare up and how bad of a day I was having, like I knew I could turn this on. I didn't have to think. I could just follow the guide. You know, every breath is basically guided. And, you know, sometime over the course of a half hour, my state of being is going to transform. And it's going to come out the other end in a much calmer, healthier state, really ready to accept life. And there were times where, you know, the intensity I would find myself experiencing from the change was so surprising, considering like the little effort of the practice and, you know, the little force involved, but somewhere along the way across 20 or 30 minutes, like I'm going to experiencing something really profound that it really feels like a drug of some sort. Where you're really just manipulating your own and, you know, internal environment through something so simple as by like the timing of your inhale, your hold, your exhale, and your hold. And it was really a game changer for me. And in fact, I teach a class at a local gym and we've always for many years started every class with like a few minutes of breath. And it was always like the same kind. It was just like a basic diaphragmatic breath just to get people's nervous system to calm down. And your video, after I practiced that for, I'd say almost daily for like a year, I mean, it allowed me to gain the confidence to take these styles that I've had like small introductions over the years with, but didn't really have the enough understanding to have somebody else play with these styles and to teach it. And after like a year of listening to your work, I was able to integrate it into my own classroom. Even though we only had like 5-8 minutes, I was like dripping in little pieces of each style where, you know, maybe for a couple of weeks we practice this style and then the next couple of weeks this one, or this day we practice this style and then this day this style. Right.
It's amazing what you can do in 8 minutes. It's time flies by, yeah. When you're behind the computer or behind the phone, 8 minutes just pass by like that. But 8 minutes of conscious breathing can make such a wonderful switch in your whole experience of this reality, in your whole mind and emotional system. Wonderful to hear that you're sharing this beautiful knowledge. Yeah.
So where did you learn like the details of all these breath patterns? Is this studying in India or?
Both. Yeah. I've been, like I said, several times, learning with different teachers in India and different places. I learned a lot of beautiful things there, reading a lot of beautiful books that are out there about breath work and about pranayama and all these things. But most important, I think, is just to practice it. Otherwise, it's a theory in your mind, an intellectual game of if you do this, then you feel that. But learning to feel it on a deeper level and experiencing it, that makes it a reality for you. Otherwise, it stays a bit of theory. And so trying a lot of different techniques, and I would go sometimes spending a lot of time in nature, and that's just doing breathing practices and qigong and experiencing what happens if you do a certain breathing technique, or what happens if you inhale slower or faster, or what do I actually feel? Not what did I read about it, but what do I actually experience and feel? And then, I recognized what those techniques can do on a deeper level. And what I recognized also very much is you got the really strong breathing practices and with full inhalation out, and this has very beautiful effect. The thing though is, you start to shake up a lot of your hormonal system, and the heart rate goes up, and you start to make all these different hormones and different types of emotions and energy. But then it stays a game of sensations. So you become a little bit addicted to sensations, if you know what I mean, that you feel like, I want to feel that yoga high, because when I do this 20 strong breaths, I feel a little bit high and I feel a bit dizzy and woohoo, I'm a bit spaced out. It's almost like taking free drugs, which has its own benefits, by the way, this breathing practice. The thing though is, on a deeper level, you're still not experiencing inner peace, because as soon as these stronger sensations of feeling buzzing in the skin and feeling tingling sensation, or feeling a little bit spaced out and seeing colors, as soon as that stops, there is that feeling of emptiness for a lot of people again, and then it feels like you feel relaxed, but then the meditation is over. What I recognize is with slow, very very calm breathing practices, you're making the awareness more subtle, more and more subtle. So instead of looking for big sensations or maybe visualizations and all these things, you start to recognize that on a very fine, subtle level within, there is the source of yourself and the connection with inner peace, with even also in daily life, if you feel not so nice, that you still have that connection with inner peace and feeling okay with however you feel. So if you get what I mean? That you, this brings you back really to your source. And with those very slow breathing techniques are for a lot of people harder because they seem more boring in the beginning. But once you get the hang of that, you start to recognize that at the foundation, at the source, you don't have to do all these movements and all these strong breathing techniques and all these to feel that inner peace. It's already there once you're connected with it. So the strong breathing techniques are very good to make your body strong and healthy and all these things. But if you're not careful and just doing strong breathing techniques, you stay in the game of looking for sensations in life and feeling of emptiness if the sensations are not there in daily life also, and feeling of restlessness when you don't feel that state of peace.
So then
you understand what I mean, Laz?
Oh yeah, I do. And I'm probably guilty of chasing that, you know, with the aggressive stuff too much. And it's funny when you say sometimes it's harder to do the slower, calmer ones. I think I understand what you're talking about. I mean, just sometimes like slowing down an inhale and the control it takes, not just the physical control of manipulating like how your diaphragm's working, but the like you're relying on yourself to slow down mentally to keep your attention on it. Mm-hmm. And it can be a real challenge to hold your attention on something. It's funny, on one of your videos there's this moment where you ask this question. It's in the middle of a breath practice, I think. I don't know the pranayama name. I think it's the alternate nostril breathing. And you ask this question, like, where is your attention? Like, can you hold your attention for two, maybe three breaths? I think you say it. And it sounds like so simple. Like, of course I could hold my attention for 2 to 3 breaths. That's practically impossible. Like, holding your attention for 3 breaths straight, 100% smothering your attention with it, you might as well try to run 2 marathons in a row. Like, it's, the mind is so insanely busy, and we don't even realize until we're trying to do something like think of, you know, keeping every sense of our attention on this single pointed focus for just a few seconds.
Well, absolutely.
I'm curious. I'm a huge fan of like practices and like what people's daily habits are, and learning like how to structure one's life. I'm curious, like, how do you implement this into your life from a daily routine? I know you mentioned you had a couple kids, so maybe your schedule's not all your own. And, you know, if they're young kids, sometimes you can't just kind of do what you want when you want. But I'm curious, how do you integrate this? Like, how do you know how much to balance, let's say, the strong breath practices and the more subtle ones or the other physical activity? Do you have like a daily routine that you rely on?
Well, on an ideal day, I would, there is some really nice places here to do or at home, but I would go to the beach and go for a little swim in the water is quite cold, and that would freshen me up. And then, yeah, doing some movements, just some simple stuff for maybe about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or something. And that could be anything. Maybe some qigong or some yoga asanas or these things. And then I would do some breathing practice. What I do for the past year a lot is this strong spinal breathing where you hollow the spine and you exhale, you hollow the spine and you exhale. Then taking some time to do this Kapalbhati to start to stimulate the energy system. And then starting to breathe very, 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 very slowly, breathing as slow as you can. And you did this course, eventually trying to let go of every control and letting the breath happen as slow as you can, like you're observing your own life happening within you. And then sitting for a moment for meditation. So, but it's a bit like a toolbox, right? All these different breathing techniques. On some days, you feel, I need to do a little bit of this, or I need to work on that. Or some days you listen some rock music or ACDs, you know, other days you listen to some very, very calm music to slow you down. So it just depends on what you try to achieve. But every day in the morning and in the evenings, trying to make some time to do these practices, definitely. It's like brushing the teeth. You need to do that 2 times a day. Otherwise, your breath start to smell, your mouth hygiene becomes bad, and you start to make it not so pleasant for others also that smell you. So it's with that, with the mind also.
So, you know, it's tough not to notice this setting behind you. I mean, for those listening on the podcast, you might have to at some point check out the YouTube video just to see this. It's quite captivating. It looks like you're on the edge of the world there. Is that like where you live? Are you?
This is, yeah, where I live. This is about 5 minutes from my house, and the whole coastline here is pretty much a bit like this, with some wonderful beaches. It's called the end of the world, this area a bit, is Sagres. It's a very inspiring place, because all the elements are very present. The ocean, the sun is one of the most sun hours in Europe here. Oh, wow. It's always there, and always the movement of the water, the earth, is as you can see, very strong, very, very nice place. Yeah.
Now, do you have a facility out there that you work at, or is it just the online site that people have access to you through?
So I do these retreats. It's like 7 days with two friends. One of them is a nature guide, and the other friend, Marta, she makes surf coaching, surf teaching, and people can opt for that as well. So it's basically in a hotel here, but of course now, unfortunately, it has been stopped for the past 2 months already, and probably for another 3 months. There people come, and it's doing intensive morning and evening classes of breath work and meditation and yoga. And then during the day, just being in nature and playing in the waves, if you want to go for a surf or for a swim or just walk on the beach. Because maybe yourself as well, I've been sometimes on retreats, which is just about either meditation or just about Qigong, and the playfulness can sometimes miss a little bit in my eyes for people that are just introducing these practices, to also enjoy life, to be in nature, to enjoy the flowers and to swim in the sea and all that kind of stuff. And I think there are two sides of life, which is, on the one hand, diving deeply into the spiritual and recognizing the deeper self and the higher self, but at the same time seeing it in the physical as well, in the physical reality, seeing it in the nature, the flowers, other people, even in cities and architecture and everything, seeing that life, energy, or the universe, God, however one wants to call it, is expressing itself in the outside and the inside as well. So being joyful and enjoying, yeah.
I can't imagine a prettier place to go to do a retreat where you get to play in the ocean and practice Qigong and yoga and meditation. It looks amazing.
Come
so
over
it's unfortunate
sometime.
That you're closed down too from the lockdown, as probably many of us are. But for those listeners out there, you know, one thing that I've talked a little bit about, Mikhail, is this opportunity. And, you know, people are probably getting tired of hearing the word silver lining when there's a pandemic. But I mean, a lot of people out there do have an opportunity to learn new things at home, to take courses, to read books, to have the time to like actually practice new things. Mm-hmm. And I find that your resource is really priceless in that. I mean, somebody at their own home that's looking to really dive deeper into really the ability that they have to interact with their body and to create change and move their lifestyle in a direction they desire, you know, your course being brought right to your phone or your laptop in your own home where you could practice and you don't have to worry about judgment being in a class with people next to you and you're worried about, you know, how am I sitting up straight enough or, you know, is my, you know, and that's maybe one of the inherent issues with yoga classes in public is like, it's hard to keep your ego out. It's hard to check at the door. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people to see someone next to them that is clearly more experienced or just more capable physically and not internally have some negative self-talk or beat themselves up about how they're doing it or not able to do it like the person next to them, or putting themselves in a position where you're not even being safe because you're pushing your limits so much and you are holding your breath and you're stressing out to hold a position because you're just right out, you're outside of your range and you're not listening to your body. And being at home is kind of an opportunity where, you know, people aren't going to see you. And this is a time to work on yourself where, you know, you could let your guard down. You could let go a little bit, let go of the ego and allow yourself to practice as your body really is speaking to you and giving you a chance to listen to what it needs. And, you know, this course, I haven't checked out your other courses. I understand you have more than one. The one I did was the breath work one. And I just can't imagine a better place for someone to start. In fact, like I'm a huge movement practicer and I love exercising. It just makes me feel good. It's something I've done for quite some time. It's helped me really change my life. And I've built a profession around helping other people do it. And, you know, I'm always juggling because all the different exercises, like you said earlier, with the different breath styles, they're all like tools. And on some days, you know, you might be in the mood for one tool and a different tool on a different day. And I always find it like a juggling act, almost like an art form, just how the structure, like how do you, on like a weekly basis or a monthly basis, or even on a yearly basis, like how you put all the qualities that you want to practice into your routine and how do you use all the tools? Because there's never enough time to focus on everything. You can't work on everything at once.
Of course. Of course. And that's not the whole, that's not the idea, of course, to do all the practices in one session or something like that. It's a very personal thing, of course, because one person has a high blood pressure issue. The other person has an anger issue. The other person is physically very good, but is a bit restless. The other person just needs to activate its system a little bit more or whatever. So it's a toolbox, but there being for every person, he or she needs another tool. So there's no such thing really as saying this is the best sequence or the best way of doing it. And that's why it's so good to get familiar with these things. And there's a couple of basic things to understand about the breath, that deep, slow breathing calms everything down, and faster or stronger or deep breathing activates things. Or that if you breathe out for longer than you breathe in, you start to harmonize and calm, slow down. But if you breathe in longer than you breathe out, you activate. So there is a couple of these simple rules which are really good to understand if people want to make their own sequences for themselves. And it will change every couple of weeks. You will feel maybe like, now I actually feel I need a little bit more activating in my body, or now I need to calm down because I'm in a different situation in my life. So going through phases of life, and sometimes you need to harmonize and slow down, and sometimes you need to activate. But important is, as a basic guideline, start off with something in one session. Start off with something a bit activating if you feel you need that, and always slow down more and more until in the end you do the slowest type of breathing practice, and then sit for some time and don't try to control anything, but just sit and observe life happening within you, so that you can start to dissolve a bit that feeling of wanting to control, dissolve your ego, and recognize that, you know, you can let go sometimes of life and let this beautiful life do its own thing and trust and flow with it. Otherwise, you're always struggling. You don't need to struggle. You need to flow.
Yeah. And, you know, the more stress we have in our life, the more important, you know, these practices are. And I mean, I think everybody is going through, you know, added stress right now. I mean, we already had collectively probably too fast paced, too sympathetic driven lifestyle. And now with what's going on in the world now, like, these are the things that we need. And
definitely, you know,
anybody could benefit. It's, everybody could use a little bit more self-care and stress reduction. And
absolutely. And I think it's one really good way to fight this whole situation if people start to take a bit more time to take care of their mind and their body and their state of emotion, and recognizing that we are just living a too fast-paced life. Things go out of control. It's almost like nature just said, now I put a handbrake on it.
Right.
Going too fast, handbrake on the middle of the highway. It's like, what's happening? Everything is standing still. But using that time, you know, now all of a sudden, a lot of people have a little bit more time. You have the opportunity, an internet connection. I like I said, I offer these courses for free for people that they can't afford it. And otherwise, it's just $10 because I don't need to make a lot of money from it. I just want to give and share. And use that time. And then I think if, as a whole society, we become healthier, our immune system becomes stronger, we take more care of ourselves and nature and each other, we can make a beautiful world, and we can come out of stronger out of this whole situation.
Yeah, that's amazing. I can't believe it's $10. For you listeners out there, that's less than like going to one yoga class. That's like less than one local drop-in class. And
yeah,
a lifetime of benefit from it. It's really remarkable that you're putting that content out there at that price. And I want to personally thank you, because it was, you know, that might have had something to do with me clicking buy now, you know, a couple of years ago, which I'm so glad that I did. It was probably the best $10 I've ever spent. And
wonderful.
That's great, nice of you too, for those that you feel like that's even out of reach, for you to extend that free. That's just really awesome you to do.
I think in life, you know, richness is not in how much you have got, but it's in how much you can share, right? Because many people have got so much, but feeling very poor in the soul. And I think if you're feeling that source of completeness, that connection with the God or the universe or higher self, that then, you know, richness is in what you can share. So maybe it would be great if as a whole humanity, we start to teach also our children that, you know, that as long as you cannot share and give away, you're still poor. So I feel very fortunate, and I'm very grateful that I am able to share this wonderful knowledge, and that came into my life, and that I've been having some wonderful teachers. The important thing is for people to start doing it. So that's why I offer it for free, even if people can't afford it. And I think in a lot of cases, like you say, $10 is less than a pizza or less than if some people drink in bars, they would go for a cocktail or something. Right. A lot of people don't prioritize their 10 euros or dollars, and they would say, well, it's $10. Well, then try it for free, you know. And I'm very grateful that people like yourself that are investing their time in courses like that, that are doing that, and are realizing the benefits of these wonderful ancient practices.
I love it. I love learning new ways to look at it and new ways to practice. Speaking of free practice, I asked before we started recording this podcast, I asked Mikhail if he would be willing to actually guide us to finish up this conversation with a short breath practice. And before we do that, one, I want to warn you, if you're listening to this in a car while driving or operating some kind of machinery, then you're going to have to pause this and come back and do this later. We don't want to be responsible for anybody driving off the road here. Before you lead us on a short breath practice to finish up, if you could just let people know how they could reach out to you if they're interested, I guess starting with if they wanted to access your courses or the information about your future retreats when they start up again, is that yogalab.com? Is that the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, YogaLab with a P, the Life Awareness Project, yeah.
Okay, so that's yoga, YOGALAP.com for you listeners out there. Check it out, you won't regret it. Is there any other ways that you wanna share for people to reach out to you on social media or anything?
Yeah, you can just look on YouTube. There's a lot of videos you can do as well. On Instagram, Michael Biker, like Michael Biker, B-I-J-K-E-R. I'm doing some live sessions on there sometimes as well. But check out the website, check out the courses, and invest a little bit of your time every day to learn these techniques, and you will see it will make such a big change on how you experience this 50, 60, 100 years that you have on this earth, and living more in connection with what you really want to do in life from the heart, not what you're feeling you're obligated to do or feeling you're making choices out of fear, but making the choices in life out of passion and compassion and out of inspiration and creativity. So yeah, for sure, check out all these different channels, and hopefully you can do some courses.
Well, that's great. And now for the best part, Mike.
Wonderful.
Mikhail, if you would be so kind to just guide me, I'm going to follow along, and our audience. We got about 5 or 10 minutes here to wrap it up on whatever practice you would like that you think would be
wonderful.
Appropriate for our listeners.
Wonderful. So
I'm going to hand it off to you, and you lead the way.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Les, for having me on your show. Now, a very simple breathing practice, but it's very nice to start to connect with the different parts of your breathing system. Even if you're already very advanced in breathing, this is a wonderful thing to do. You can either sit on a chair or on the floor. It doesn't matter, as long as your spine is nice and straight. Now, with the hands on the belly, and like I said, even if you've done a lot of yoga before, it's still good to do these practices. You breathe out through the tight lips, like you squeeze the belly a little bit. You pull the belly in. And when you breathe in, you let the belly come out. Okay, so breathing out, let the belly squeeze. You breathe in like a balloon that is filling up and connecting with that part of your body. And for a couple of breaths, do it nice and slow and start to connect with those different parts of your breathing system around the sides, the belly, the diaphragm. For the last 3 breaths like this, do it a little bit more slow. Hold the breath in for maybe a little bit and feel you can make gentle expansion. And even if it's a bit blocked in that area, all good. You expand and we breathe out. You contract. One more last time. And breathe out, relax. Okay. The first part of this three-stage breathing. Hands like this, fingers around the rib cage. And let's breathe a little bit of space around the heart center, right? So we exhale again through the lips. You feel the rib cage becoming smaller. And again, we breathe this time towards the heart. The chest opens, we hold for a little moment, we make a little smile. We breathe out. We empty from the heart. And keep going like this. We inhale, we expand, we open. We breathe out. Let's do like this for four more breaths to kind of clean, not out just the lungs, but also the heart center, the emotional center. One more last time. Hold the breath in for a little bit longer. Smile a bit when you hold the breath. Bring the hands down. So with the eyes closed, you feel the belly, the chest, the hands. Wonderful. We interlock the fingers. For the third step of this three-step breathing, we interlock the hands. And behind the neck, we bring the elbows up and a bit back. And we start with an exhalation. Then we feel the belly squeezing. And then we start to breathe from the belly. When the belly is full, we bring the air further up to the heart. When that is full, all the way to the top of the lungs, hold the breath in for a little moment and breathe out again, letting go. And again, slowly into the belly. From the belly up to the heart, to the top of the chest, like you're lifting yourself off the floor and out, letting go. Let's take three more calm breaths like this, right? Very slow in, expand, hold, smile a bit, breathe out, empty, letting go. Breathe in. One more last time, really nice and slow. Whenever you hold the breath in for some time, you bring the arms up and then down onto the knees with the hands open. The eyes closed again, connect. You can feel the blood flow in the fingers has changed a little bit, right? You feel the breathing has opened up a little bit more. The last part of this breathing practice is to implement those three steps of breathing in a very, very calm manner. And this is something you can do sometimes during the day also. Just to connect with the belly, the heart, and bring the awareness up to the head. So in your own tempo, do it nice and slow. After an exhalation, you start to breathe into the belly. With the awareness up into the heart, you open the heart. Further up breathing, awareness to the head, and breathing out, letting go. Make use of the last three breaths. Very gentle. You don't have to breathe deep. It's not about strength or control. It's about kindness and gentleness as you bring gentle expansion and awareness to the belly, the heart, top of the chest, and awareness to the brain. And expand with the breath out even more. wonderful friends.
Mikhail, thank you for that practice today. I appreciate you joining us. That was an awesome way to finish. Listeners out there, I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope you got value out of today's conversation and that just perfectly gentle way to finish. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Les, for having me with you. Keep on inspiring others. Keep on shining light into this world, because the state of the world is a collective of all individual souls. Your soul is shining. Hopefully many others will start shining their soul also in this life so that we can start to light up this wonderful world and this life. Okay.
Beautifully Thank said. You. Listeners, you guys have a great day out there.
Peace and blessings.
Well, I hope you listeners enjoyed the episode. I surely enjoyed talking to Mikhail. I learned a lot. It was nice to really see all the passion kind of flow out of him. He really exudes just really an awesome energy. It's something that I've definitely been drawn to. And like I said before, he's really been helpful to me personally in my own practice. I encourage you to check out his work. And if you find that it helps you, then share that with the community. I do appreciate it. Maybe you can inspire someone else to set their course on a more positive direction too. If you haven't reviewed or given feedback on the podcast yet, please do. I'm still looking to learn how I can do this better and what type of value the listeners are looking for. I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it and see where it goes. So I'm really grateful for your listening, and I hope that you stay tuned for more of these episodes. Have a great day.